Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Before we move on, we have some news to report. Channel 9 is now reporting that the child in Pleasant Hill that was injured when that tree fell, and Dan, forgive me, I had to step out, so if you had this, forgive me, but that the child is now listed in critical condition, which
That's
is
awful.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Awful. News.
So we will keep you posted. If you haven't heard, the kids were playing at Pleasant Hill Elementary School earlier this afternoon, about 1:30-ish, when a tree in a yard just on the other side of the school's fence came down in the high winds today and hit several students. One of them was rushed to the hospital. That student is, according to Channel 9, in critical condition this afternoon. So we pray for him and his family, or her and her family. We don't know if it's a young boy or a young girl, but we're praying for their family and thinking of them, of course. We will get to a story about Wayside Waifs and a lawsuit that's been filed against them in just a moment by a woman who does not even live in the area, and a dog named Jackson. But before we get to that, I couldn't help but notice that as I'm walking to the restroom just a moment ago, there's a million maps on the walls around the radio station for tomorrow's trick-or-treat event that goes on around noon, early afternoon.
Yeah.
And one of the...
Sort of social.
Yeah. Awkward, but social. Demented, but social. One of the stops on the map says Sam's Office.
Okay.
Now, you already took my job.
I was wondering about that as well. I'm like, Who is Sam on the second floor? We have a new hire.
I've already been demoted. You've been promoted.
Sam's office is the studio.
My office is either this studio or my cubicle, yes.
And why would we want to stop at your office? Are you going to have candy?
Did you read the map?
No, I was in a rush to get my water and go to the restaurant.
There's going to be prizes.
Yes, the map is for where you need to go to get candy tomorrow. And
yes.
My desk, as I am a part of the committee that puts on these wonderful events for
Love
you
it.
All.
Love it.
The Fun and Social Committee?
That's not what it's called, but
do
okay.
Do you have a nameplate on your office, Sam?
I do not.
Yeah, we don't either.
Yeah, neither do we. The sports guys do.
The sports guys all have nameplates.
Yeah.
Actually, first of all, I don't have an office. So.
Have your names on the door of your office.
We wrote them.
They're on a bumper sticker that I bought.
Well,
at least you have an office.
We don't use it.
I have a cubicle.
You do have a cube. One of my favorite stories of the day, you guys. There's a ding-a-ling born every second, and she is one of them. A 42-year-old St. Paul woman is accused of stealing a sheep and taking it on a walk alongside her dog over the weekend, and she is now charged. It's a very rare charge that we see, but she is now charged with one count of rustling livestock.
Oh.
She's a rustler of livestock, Scott.
It was a bad day for her.
Get
All
out.
Right.
Out.
Get out.
You were in timeout for 5 minutes for that one.
The charges show that on Saturday, officers were called to the old Shakopee Road in Bloomington on a report of a man and woman walking a sheep. Now, I'm going to stop you right there before we go any further, because that would suggest, Scott, that someone in this town saw a woman walking a sheep, and instead of, I don't know, taking a picture and putting it on social or looking at her boyfriend and saying, oh my gosh, that woman's walking a sheep, she called 911.
Did she know that livestock rustling was against the law?
I just feel like if I saw someone walking a sheep, my first thought would not be to call 911. But that's what happened here, and thank God for it.
Why because
we have a livestock
a
rustler off the streets now. Upon arrival, officers noticed burrs, quote, all over the woman's jacket and on the sheep. Yes, Scott.
Did I just hear the only person on this show who has ever called 911 and calls it with some frequency, just say that the last thing they would do is call 911?
If I saw someone walking a sheep, that is correct.
She almost pulled the wool over your eyes on that one.
Okay. You need to retire to your office.
For the next hour.
Are you saying it would behoove me to do that?
All right.
Upon arrival, an officer noticed burrs all over the woman's jacket and on the sheep. She told the officer, according to charging document, she bought the sheep from an employee and paid $200 for it. However, the man with the woman said, no. She stepped over a fence on a farm, put a leash on the sheep, and pulled it through the fence. He told the officer she had pulled the leash so hard that the sheep had been choking. An employee and the owner of a nearby farm were able to confirm that the sheep belonged to them and had not been sold to the woman. Okay. Charges show that the sheep is a breeding ram, and it is worth around $500.
Okay.
Yeah, the sheer audacity of her stealing.
I was just going to tell Dana, you can read as much as you want. There is no one in this room, Dan, Sam, or me,
just
paying any attention.
Feverishly trying to come up with sheep puns.
All we're doing is the engines are turning in our brain trying to come up with a better pun than the last one.
I'm sorry that livestock rustling is a joke to you.
Is she on the lamb now?
You're on fire. You are stone cold on fire.
Did she name the sheep?
No, Dan. She did not have time to name the sheep before she was arrested for rustling livestock. Do we rustle anything else?
What name do you think she should give it? Mary?
Sounds good.
Are you done?
Cattle get rustled all the time.
That's right.
You know, that's no joke, and that is very serious, and authorities take it very seriously.
Is rustling in and of itself a crime?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just thought, like, when you round them up, like, if you're the rancher,
well, yeah, if you're the rancher and they belong to you, you're allowed to do it. If you're just Joe Bob driving down a dirt road and you decide to steal a cow, which once you steal it, what does one do with it? I know they are worth a lot of money.
Cows?
Do you slaughter it for the beef?
Yeah.
You don't sell it on eBay. I mean, I'm asking. I've never rustled anything to my knowledge.
Is that come with free shipping?
They're very hard to move.
Are you done?
No.
Not even close.
I think you meant, are you? Get it?
Wow.
Done?
Yeah. Y-E-W?
E-W-E.
Okay. I'm done. Wow. I'm done.
Do they fall asleep while counting the sheep?
I don't know, Dan.
Somebody wants to know if she fleeced the actual owner.
Okay.
What are we doing?
I'm done. I was just trying to pass the news of the day.
This is my fault. I'm sorry, Dana. Just
trying to lighten up the mood. 45
more minutes of this.
I think we did.
I think
we
don't.
We did lighten up the mood.
I think we don't do that, Dan.
I'm out of puns. I've been thinking really hard.
So am I. I'm going through every animal name and pun that I can possibly think up.
We're good.
Well, maybe we could ram in one more joke about
it. Okay. I don't think we should do that.
He stole that off the text line.
I did. Thank you, Texter.
So you rustled it? You rustled that joke away from its rightful owner?
All right.
From the text line, Dana, I am so disappointed in you. You should have milked that story for all it was worth.
Okay. Pretty sure you can't milk a sheep. That's what goats are for.
We brought cattle into it.
And goats are not even the same thing.
You don't milk a sheep.
Well, where does their baby get milk from?
I don't know, Scott.
Just blew her mind.
Do sheeps have nipples?
Yes. I have nipples. Can you milk me?
Just take the little...
The question is a
weird turn.
Teat in your hand
it's
very
from
gently.
Do sheep have nipples?
Google it. I don't know.
They have to.
I don't think so. I think the sheep are boys.
How many?
Well, there have to be, a male sheep. Isn't that a ram?
All right.
Hey, don't lambast him.
Sheep have been used for milk production for longer than any mammal. And in fact, they can produce 400 to 1,100 pounds of milk in any given lactation cycle.
Huh. Wow.
So, I was right. They do have nipples.
Okay, that's great.
I think most female mammals have.
I'm well aware, okay. Sam.
And the males, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
This just went off the rails. Completely off the rails.
It's utterly ridiculous.
All
Animal
right.
Husbandry on Dana and Parks.
Yep.
A weekly.
No, no. We are going back to the stolen dog. We will go from the stolen sheep to a stolen dog. There is a local woman who said she tracked her stolen dog. He's so
She's
cute.
Not local. That's the story.
To a Casey Animal Shelter, but the shelter will not give the dog back. She is now suing.
Yep.
The dog was in a fence backyard. So we'll talk about this when we get back.
We will. 913-586.
How did the dog get here?
7798. Traveled quite a distance. 913-586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. Story here from Fox 4. An Oklahoma woman who has been searching for her stolen dog for nearly a year is now suing Wayside Waifs, a Kansas City animal shelter. In the lawsuit, Courtney Baird claims that her dog, Jackson, was stolen from a family member's backyard in Oklahoma last October while she, Courtney, was in the hospital. According to the lawsuit, when she left the hospital, she started working to find her dog and tracked him to Wayside Waifs. The lawsuit alleges that when she called the Kansas City Animal Welfare Organization to let them know they had her stolen dog, they would not give the dog back or give her contact information for Jackson's new adoptive family.
Oh. Wait, okay, that sort of buried the lead. Wayside would not give the dog back because the dog had already long since been adopted out to someone else. They unknowingly adopted out a stolen dog.
Baird's lawsuit claims that after her Australian Shepherd was stolen, he was taken to a shelter in Arkansas and then later transferred to Wayside Waifs. The lawsuit says Baird believes further discovery will show that Wayside Waifs sold her dog for a substantial sum. In March, Baird posted about the situation in a Kansas City Facebook group. At that time, Wayside Waifs responded to the post by saying, "Wayside Waifs has followed all state and local laws in this matter. We have been in communication with all parties, including law enforcement, the original owner, the previous animal shelter that Jackson received care at, and the adoptive family. We have followed all protocol, and no further action is needed."
Okay. I have so many questions, and help me with this, Sam. I want you to talk this out with us. I need more information about how the owner, quote, tracked down the dog to Wayside Waifs.
Right.
How, you know, and the animal community is, you know, they are detectives. But how did it even come to be that she figured out the dog was stolen or got out or whatever happened, then went from one shelter to the next shelter? That's question number one. Question number two, I don't understand or necessarily buy that Wayside Waifs, quote, sold the dog for an excessive amount or whatever.
She said substantial sum.
Wayside Waifs doesn't do that. They are begging people to come adopt dogs.
Yeah, it's an adoption fee, typically, which is a fixed rate for every single dog.
Right.
They don't
let's
sell
say,
one
let's
dog
like
more expensive than the other.
Is it possible that Wayside Waifs had no idea this dog belonged to somebody in another state and was stolen? I think it's very possible. Because if Wayside Waifs knew that, oh my gosh, there's an owner missing this pet in another state, in my experience with these shelters, they would bend over backwards to get the dog back because they don't have any capacity.
Well, and they don't want to feed it and house it.
No.
If I had to guess, this dog got out in her hometown and the shelter there picked it up and didn't have space for it.
Yep.
Yeah, she claims that her dog was stolen, but we have no proof of that.
No, I'm sure the dog got out, the shelter picked it up, and they didn't have space for it, so they called up Kansas City and said, "Hey, you guys aren't too far away. Any chance you guys have room for dogs?"
Because if this dog was stolen, I'm more with you, Sam, that the dog somehow got out of the backyard at the family member's house, because that's where Jackson was apparently staying, was at a family member's backyard.
And then the family member said, wink, wink. I mean, I have no idea what
happened. I don't know how that gate got open.
Maybe he was stolen. You know how that goes. Yeah. If you're watching someone else's dog.
Yeah, and maybe Jackson wasn't as well-behaved as the family member thought, and oops, that gate got left open.
I'm not saying anyone did anything wrong here. I think it's quite possible this is one of those super unfortunate situations, like super unfortunate, where the left hand didn't understand what the right hand was doing. And in all good faith, yeah. Wayside Waifs does what Wayside Waifs does, and that is find a home for a dog that they did not believe had a home.
Right. And by the way, if the dog had been stolen, and it's an Australian Shepherd, which apparently is a high-dollar kind of dog, wouldn't the person who stole the dog have sold the dog? Not just somehow this dog ends up at shelter after shelter after shelter.
Here's the real story, if you think about it. Wayside Waifs and authorities know who the new owner of that animal is. Mm-hmm. They reach out to the new owner and they say, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe this. We are so sorry. But that dog that we in good faith adopted out to you, turns out that dog either got out or was stolen in another state. The owner has tracked us down. She's very upset. This dog belongs to this woman. New family. So sorry, but we have to ask, would you be willing to do the right thing and give the dog back?
And I think legally, if they say no.
Oh, that family not only said no, that family said, hell no. We didn't name that dog Jackson. To us, Jackson is named
Pepper.
Pepper. And we ain't giving Pepper back. We wouldn't even be discussing this if the new family had just said, oh my gosh, that's terrible. We'll give the dog back. Can you just adopt us another dog?
And how long had it been? Something tells me this wasn't a two-day process.
She claims, Courtney Baird claims that she found out that her dog was missing a year ago this month, in October of last year. She said she had tracked Jackson down by, I guess, March, because that's when she posted something on a Kansas City Facebook group page.
So it's possible the new owners of that dog had that dog for months. Dog is settled in. Wayside Waifs calls and says, funny thing, the dog that we got from another shelter, like, it turns out dog was not.
Oh, hell no.
And then the family, I guarantee you, said, we are not giving this dog back.
Yeah, the only thing is Wayside Waifs never says that, but I bet there's a reason they don't say.
Yeah, they're not going to give out a private information of a client. I mean, yeah. That is a client that ended up adopting this dog. They're not going to say to a very angry woman who's lost their dog, here's where you can find the dog, call these people. They're not going to give out that information.
No, but they do.
Nor would we want them to.
Sure. They do say in their statement on their Facebook page, or on that Facebook page, I beg your pardon, that they had been in communication with all parties involved, including law enforcement, and the adoptive family. We have followed all protocol and no further action is needed.
They're saying it without saying it. The family
exactly
is not
right.
Giving the dog back.
But you're exactly right.
And we're in the middle, and we don't want to be caught in the middle, but what are we supposed to do?
By the way, according to the text line, purebred dogs go for much more than, for lack of a better term, butts.
Oh, sure.
But that doesn't mean Wayside. No, and I don't think she's even trying to say that. I don't think Wayside had any idea this dog had an owner looking for him from another state. I just don't think they knew.
Well, I don't know if you know it's a purebred as much as you know, man, that thing is as close to being an Australian Shepherd or an Irish Setter or, you know, a Black Lab as you can possibly get. Like, Stella was not a purebred Black Lab, but, man, she looked it.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Whose dog is it?
Was it?
And by the way, Wayside Waifs has gone out of their way to remind people, because of this story, to microchip your dog.
Now, wouldn't that be how she tracked it down, unless my theory is correct, where it was picked up by a shelter there
and
transferred
here? I think she checked
here
with the local shelter. This is my guess, Sam. And the local shelter said, we did have that dog, and we contracted it out with this place.
Arkansas.
Yeah, to this place called whatever. And then I think that's how she did it.
Okay.
And then she gets to the end at Wayside Waifs, and Wayside Waifs said, that dog has a new home, and we cannot give you the new owner's information.
That dog is going, gone.
Yeah.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, welcome back. A story here from Fox 4. It's a story about an Oklahoma woman who no longer has her Australian Shepherd dog. And they're beautiful animals. I was just looking them up during the commercial break. And
oh, that's my favorite dog breed by far.
They don't all look alike. You know, like Black Labs or Chocolate Labs tend to look alike. Irish Setters almost all look alike. They have different colors, different spot patterns on their fur, et cetera. Now, there is one kind that seems to be more common than the others, but I mean, if she had a legitimately good picture of her dog, she could make the argument that that dog right there, sitting down, that's my dog. Look, here's the picture and there's the dog. But she was in the hospital, I'm sorry about that, and somehow her dog was removed or got out from a relative's backyard in Oklahoma. Dog ends up in Arkansas, then at Wayside Waifs in Kansas City, roughly a year ago, give or take, where the dog was then adopted by presumably a local family. This woman in Oklahoma is demanding that she be given her dog back, but Wayside, and is suing Wayside Waifs, by the way, but Wayside Waifs says, we've done nothing wrong, and they are not going to give her the name of the adoptive family for the dog. Jackson was his name.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
Okay.
Really?
913-58.
That gives me pause.
Both of you. I'll do the rest of the hour myself. 913-586.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
7798. 913-586-7798. We do have an open line if you want to grab it. Eric in Fort Leavenworth. Hello, Eric.
Hey, how you doing? This is Mr. Jackson, if you're nasty.
Nice.
Yeah, I find this story interesting, and it's some scream scam. Everything that you've laid out, I mean, is logical. It kind of makes sense. But I'd be curious, most businesses, I don't think, would have to disclose the information for what they adopted the dog out at in terms of prices. And I would fairly bet that Wayside is probably the same way. And in this day and age, when you can chip a dog or a cat or one of your pets, why wasn't that done before? And if it wasn't done, like, how did you come to this conclusion other than fishing around on the internet?
Well, but Eric, hell hath no fury like someone that's separated with the animal that they love. And let me just say one thing in her favor. She had this dog 6 years. This is not a puppy. She had her dog 6 years, according to the Kansas City Star, before this happened. Now, I do take issue in the lawsuit. It says they wouldn't tell her anything about where her dog was, who had the dog, mm-hmm. would not return the dog to her. In Wayside Waifs' defense, they cannot tell her where that dog was adopted to. They cannot give her information about the family that adopted it. And they cannot return the dog to her because they no longer have possession of the dog. It's with another family. I really, truly think this is just one of those sad, unfortunate, mm-hmm. Nobody wins here situations where everyone was trying to do the best they could. And now you just can't get the dog back.
Now, she does have and provided the Star with a picture of the dog. Presumably, and I've been on the Wayside Waifs site before. They're a very reputable organization here in town, do great work. I would imagine that before this dog was adopted out, they put a picture of the dog they received on their website and sure. said, you know, this is in.
But it was missing from Oklahoma. You're not going to be in Oklahoma and look on a Wayside Waifs website looking for your dog.
Right. But what I'm saying to Eric's call is he said he smells a scam going on here. If the Wayside Waifs picture matches the picture that this woman, Courtney Baird, provided to the Kansas City Star, then that is her dog. And
was.
That's right. And it was adopted out. And to borrow your phrase, it's just unfortunate. It's an unfortunate situation. Your dog somehow got out. You might want to talk to your relative about that, by the way.
Was not microchipped, or we wouldn't be talking about this.
That's right. Well,
who has a dog for 6 years without a microchip?
Oh, I think a lot of people
do. I don't know that I ever microchipped Stella, but she would never leave my side.
Until you're in the hospital and you leave her with a relative. And accidents happen. They do.
Well, that's true.
Also, great point from the text line. If I'm the original owner and I've had that dog for 6 years, I would offer a substantial sum of money to get the dog back, even if it's a mutt.
But the new
it's part of my family,
right? But the new family is going to say the same thing, that even though we've had the dog 1 year,
no sale,
no sale.
I remember years ago.
We bought this dog in good faith.
Yep. I remember years ago when I was still living in Lawrence. I think I was still in college when a gal that I worked at a radio station, she was moving to London, England to get married. Okay. And she had a cat. She asked me if I would take her cat because she didn't want to have to do the 6-month quarantine and all that when she got to England. And I said, sure, no problem. So I take in this cat. I name him Casey, C-A-S-E-Y. And Casey and I live a couple of years together. She gets divorced over in London, comes because she was an American, comes back to the United States, actually came back to Lawrence, tracked me down, and said she wanted her cat back. She had had the cat for 1 year before she moved to London. I had had that cat, I think, at that point, almost 3 years.
Ew.
And I said no, because I had fallen in love with that cat.
Did you say no nicely? Or
I said, I don't think I can do that.
Ooh. I mean, she did go overseas. You were not expecting her to return.
I thought she was never coming back.
She didn't say keep an eye on it for a couple of weeks.
She gave me the, she said, yeah. Do you want my cat?
There you go.
And I said, why do you not want your cat? She goes, I don't want to do the 6-month quarantine. I said, yeah, sure, I'll take the cat. She ends up getting divorced, flies home, wants her cat back.
Mm.
And I said, no. Jeremy in Gardner. Jeremy, hello.
Hello, how are you?
We are well, thank you.
Awesome. Love you guys. Love your show. Just wanted to say, how about this? Just put the new owners in one corner of a room. Put the old owner in one corner of a room. Let that dog in from one side. And whoever that dog chooses to go to, that's your owner.
Oh.
How do you do that without both sides going, come here, buddy. Come here. Come here, Jackson.
I mean, let them both say whatever they want. That dog's going to choose. If that dog was with that other owner for 6 years, that dog's going to go to the original owner. It's puppy memories.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you've seen those stories where 20 years later, the dog returns and there's this crazy reaction.
Or when somebody, a soldier's off at war and comes back after a year-long deployment, and that dog is wagging its tail. It could never be happier.
Who's the dog that traveled like halfway across the country? Do you guys remember that story? It was a couple of years ago. That dog traveled from like California to Colorado.
Yeah, it rings a bell. Kelly in Liberty. Kelly, hi.
Hi.
Hi there.
So I'd love to just hopefully, you know, PSA to everybody who does have a current microchip in their pet, make sure it is up to date. I work in an animal clinic, and when people bring in found pets and we microchip it, we get all excited, call the company, they reach out to the owner, and it's either out of, not always, of course, usually the most of the time it's good reunited stories, but so many times it's the wrong phone number or a not working one. Or sometimes the people let their pet go and, of course, act like they've never heard of the pet before. But, yeah, keeping the microchip info up to date is important. And, honestly, a microchipping can be done so quickly, and it makes, without a doubt, you're able to get your pet back if you have that info on hand.
So explain this to me. Is all your information and contact information is kept on that microchip? It's not like you have to give some serial number or something if your dog goes missing.
Correct, yeah. So we scan it, the 16-digit code comes up, we call, it tells us which company it's to, we call it in. We, as an animal clinic, are not allowed to give the original owner's information to the people who found the pet.
Of course.
But we do reach out to them and take their info, or a lot of times the people are just kind enough and say, okay, we'll let it stay in our garage or house or whatever until. We've had some amazing stories where the people really wanted to keep it and they did the 10-day wait. And I mean, that is legal. It's a 10-day wait. It's property, essentially. And they continue to bring it in for care. And it's like that microchip story that we think it was abandoned. The owner forgot maybe they were microchipped.
Yeah.
And when they answered, they were like, yeah, no, it's not our cat. And like, okay. So they do everything they can. The microchip company really does track down by email, address card, phone number, everything.
All right, Kelly, do appreciate it. Kim in Leavenworth. Hello, Kim.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that I have two Australian Shepherds, and I've spent thousands of dollars. I got them from breeders, so I don't understand how she could have not had them microchipped, or, I mean, maybe she got them black market. Maybe she got the dog black market.
Yeah, I don't know, but you're right. As popular as they are and as expensive as mm-hmm. they are, you know, to keep up and maintain and all of those things, the microchip thing, I guess, is a little confusing. I do know this. I think I read in the Star story, she's from a tiny town, correct?
I believe so.
So maybe in a super small town, you just don't think you need something like that. I mean, she had the dog 6 years.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. From the New York Post, Starbucks reportedly has warned corporate employees that they will lose their job if they don't report to the office 3 days per week.
Oh, this is rich.
Just weeks after sparking backlash for allowing its new CEO to work from his home in Southern California.
Yeah, they didn't like the backlash they got, and as I've mentioned over and over again on this program, for jetting him back and forth from the headquarters to his home. So they decided to let him work from home.
Huh.
And now, if you're an upper management and not the CEO, you best get your butt back in the office or you're done.
The Seattle-based coffee house chain will institute a new policy in January that will include a standardized process to hold employees accountable if they fail to adhere to the company's return to the office policy.
Uh-huh. Now, since they've been remote for so long, if some of those employees moved out of state, do they also get to use the Starbucks private jet to get to work?
I would think the answer to that is no,
okay.
Sam. No.
You're fired.
Last month, the former Chipotle chief executive, who is now their new CEO, Brian Nickel, told employees that the company expected them to work wherever they need to in order to adequately do their jobs, though he added that the best place to do that is in the office, except for him.
On a jet. That also would work.
When Nickel was first brought on board, it was reported that Starbucks would allow him to run the company remotely from a small office in his residence in Newport Beach, California, 1,200 miles away from the corporate headquarters in Seattle.
Now, Newport is beautiful.
I have no doubt. Starbucks also threw in a private jet that would shuttle Nickel from his Southern California home to company headquarters in Seattle.
Okay.
The company later clarified that Nickel would spend a majority of his time at corporate headquarters.
Whatever.
Starbucks also said that Nickel would utilize the private jet and his allotment of miles to visit some of the company's stores worldwide. He's paid a base salary of 1.6, but you know that that's never the case. They get
stock options alone.
You got a $10 million signing bonus.
More than anyone else in that company is ever going to make.
Yes.
A private jet.
A private jet that he can go anywhere he wants. Good Lord.
How mad would you be?
Oh.
If you were a rank and file, come on.
Oh.
Number three in the company. What do I get?
They did a study on which fan bases shed the most tears for their team, all sports.
Tears, happy tears, or tears, I can't believe we keep losing Joe Burrow tears?
It just says tears, shed out of anger or sadness or because of joy.
Ooh, we are an emotional bunch here. Kansas City's got to be in the top five.
Nope. No. The most emotional fans, by the way, are San Diego Padres fans.
Oh, okay.
Of Major League Baseball. Among the five major professional sports leagues, MLS fans are the most likely to cry for their team.
Because they're so passionate about their love for the game.
Mm-hmm. Football.
I don't disagree.
That wasn't sarcasm.
I love football. Of all the NBA teams, the San Antonio Spurs fans are the ones who reach for the tissues more often than not. In the NFL, care to guess, it is not the Chiefs.
Raiders.
Nope.
No, it's going to be like Denver or something.
Minnesota Vikings. And in the NHL, it is the Tampa Bay Lightning.
The Vikings are still crying about that one kick back in 1999 or whatever the heck it was that everybody always talks about.
Did you see the note? Speaking of the one thing no one can get over, did you see the meme the other day with the guy that had his foot, you know, an inch and a half over the line? And, you know, Patrick Mahomes famously said, should have worn white cleats.
Yeah.
Someone posted during that game on that day, we still aren't over that call. Which was the correct call.
We should point out today, because Michael Mackey's very open about it and comes on the show from time to time, today is World Stroke Day. Remember FAST, facial weakness, arm weakness, speech difficulty, and time.
Know time. The signs.
Yeah. FAST, facial, arm, speech, and time. You need to get 911 called immediately. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks, and God willing, back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And be good to one another. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.